Doug Christie. He's Jason Ross.
Get off my lawn.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Hey there, here we are. Happy Friday. Back in the studios here of Sports 1140 KHTK. That means we're back.
Get your donut dance
on YouTube. Oh, if we could only turn that on early. You could have heard and seen what has been described as an epic donut dance.
Yeah.
By this guy.
Yes. I see you. Thumbs
something
pointed
that can't
inward.
Be replicated.
It nope. cannot ever, it was, it, from my understanding.
Felt it.
Hips don't lie.
Yeah. In my loins.
Oh.
All the way. Just. It's the first donut in a long time, and there's a great batch.
What was it?
Oh, the demon cats?
Yeah,
are they back
demon
again?
Cats are back.
I attacked that donut like a demon cat.
There you go.
Yes. How are you, DC?
Spectacularly fine.
Yeah?
Yes.
Spectacularly fine. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll accept that. That's acceptable at this point.
I mean, I'm spectacular, but the fine part is...
Yeah.
I'm devastatingly okay.
How about yourself?
Super groovy.
Super groovy. Jay, what you got for me?
He's working.
Yeah. Oh, no. You know what that means today.
Oh, Lord. I shouldn't even have asked.
We haven't had that five on it yet from Jay.
He over there just typing
away. Masterminding.
No doubt.
Today on the show, it's Friday. We haven't had a Friday show in a while, at least all the way through before an A's game or a Kings game. We will have A's baseball tonight, but immediately following us at 6 as the A's will take on the Tigers. But tell me something good to wrap up the week. We could use some good news out there. That's for sure. I know we'll talk sports and talk about our teams that are struggling and so on, but there's some world issues and national issues that are continuing to go on. So we could use a little slice of good. We will have that coming up at the end of the show. We'll have the crossover. We will have five on it. Lots of NFL discussions today, including projected win totals for all 32 teams. And, you know, we'll spend some time on the teams that you guys care about.
I mean, well, what you talking about? What do you care about?
Well, I'm like a Seattle or a 49er team or Raider team.
Yeah, yeah.
And some others.
I'm asking you.
The Washington Demon Cats? See, now everybody can see it. I said, if you can only see his face when he does this. We've got some NBA discussion, obviously, to get into. Plenty of things, but let's do it. Let's start you out with First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
Ah, pop.
For the second time this season, the Sacramento Kings have now lost 9 consecutive games. Oof. In a stretch from February 9th through the 25th of that month, they lost 9 in a row. They came out of the All-Star break strong, put together a stretch where they won 8 of 9. But since March 31st, the Kings have now lost 9 consecutive outings. Final score, 122-114.
That's just Black Rob. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I got.
Better? In the performance, sure.
Yeah.
If we're going game by game, yes.
Okay.
The total's racking up. It's just so uncomfortable. It's so disheartening. It's frustrating. You know, we could probably plug and play this phrase to a lot of different times. Play like that against Team X, and you win. Phoenix is good. Kings played pretty well. I think you hang your hat. Like, if you're on a – even if you had won 3 in a row and you lost a game, you're like, all right, still in a good way. You played a good team on the road, tested them, fine. But you've lost 8 in a row, now make it 9. And when it's like that, it's hard to see when the next one will come because yesterday I thought they did things that could lead to a win. Unfortunately, it's another setback.
Yeah. There isn't a hard thing to point at for this particular game because I think that you're right. There were a lot of good things. I still think 22 assists is not enough. 15 turnovers and 21 points off them are too many for Sacramento. But all things being equal, I mean, you're down by 5 after 1. You're down by 2 at half. You're down by 1 going to the fourth. And then so the first quarter and the fourth quarter just kind of fell apart. Chris Paul takes over, starts knocking down some shots. Devin Booker comes off the bench immediately. Huge 3. Multiple. This is one area. 10 offensive rebounds there. And there was a stretch there where when Booker hit his second 3, it was like 2 opportunities at it. Shot, miss, offensive rebound, put it back, shot, offensive rebound, kick it out, bang, he knocks down a 3. Those are the things that just for this team, and I talked about polar opposites yesterday, Jason, like you're at one end of the spectrum, 9-game losing streak. To get to the other end, it's not just going to be, oh, play really good. That's not it. You're going to need some breaks, which you didn't get, De'Aaron getting smacked in the head. But you're going to have to fight through all of that stuff. You're going to have to fight through. But defensively leads me to, like, it needs to be palpable. You need to see it and feel it. You got to go get after some people. And that's how you're going to get out of this. And Carmichael Dave's question, I think they, if they play like this, they beat Dallas. But yeah, we'll see.
If not, it would be a historical loss because it would tie the franchise record 10-game losing, at least the Sacramento franchise record. So it's their second 9-game losing streak. If we just go to this game, though, Doug, overall, I think two things from yesterday. You kind of brought up a few. The other ones I want to bring up is Luke Walton, G-Man, talked to Jesse Mirmus in the pregame on the radio side. Everything was pointing to the beginning of the game. Point of emphasis, beginning of the game. So my thought was, okay, you know what I want to see? Who calls the first timeout? And I think it was like 13-4 Phoenix.
Anyway. Yep.
Well, I know. I mean, I'm, without being in a locker room, I'm going to almost guarantee everything I have that there was a huge point of emphasis on the approach and the attack in the first 4 minutes of the game, and it was 13-4 Phoenix. Now, they regrouped.
Yeah.
But what's the last thing I just told you?
Yeah. The same thing that I'm going to tell you during this first timeout that you're making me use with 9 minutes remaining in the first quarter. So defensively, that's one thing. We just talked about that. Offensively, like when you only have 20 assists, it's just – it's not enough for the way that you're built. Like they had 30 assists, and they're built a little bit more – where they could, Chris Paul can get his own. Devin Booker could get his own. You could throw it inside to Ayton. He could post up whether he's going to make it or come around. Cameron Payne off the bench, he can get his own. But the way that they're playing leads them to better chances at victory. And for the Kings, what I mean by that is don't settle on the first average look. Don't settle on the first good look. Move the basketball. Every time that they got into the paint, collapsed the defense and kicked it out, they ended up with a good shot. But then there were many times where they didn't do it. And that's understanding the game of basketball and what you need to do to make sure that you're successful.
The other part of the game, so now they've stabilized, played right with them, and they were doing a really good job. And I thought what was part of the charm of the way they played, maybe more so yesterday than any other game recently, it really was a collective. I thought a lot of people were playing well offensively for the Kings. I mean, you're seeing what DeLon Wright was providing. Buddy got rolling. You were getting just production for Halliburton and Barnes at different times, a lot of different people. And then came the fourth quarter when they only scored 20, and the best closer on the team is Fox. Fox had a good quarter. I think he had 11 of the 20, but it was almost like the rest of the squad went, all right, De'Aaron, bring us home.
Right.
What did you guys do before? Like, De'Aaron was a big part of what you were doing before, but there was everybody contributing. Now it was like, go win it for us. That's not the way to do it.
No, it's not. Now, we've seen, like, Pau Gasol and those guys' version with Kobe Bryant as the closer. Like, there are ways to do things like that. But this is not that yet. It's more about getting guys involved. I really, really liked I think I said this to you. I thought that DeLon had kind of lost a little bit of his aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. Yesterday he came in. I don't know if it was because that he made shots, but that type of aggressiveness coming off the bench is what you are ultimately going to need to take it to the next level. Hassan Whiteside was fantastic, gave a double-double. He was very, very productive. De'Aaron continues to do it. It's going to be the others, but it's also the approach. And I mean, you gotta get after people, man, if you want to get that W.
Yeah, and, you know, it was close, but that's it. And now you just feel for the team trying to, again, get out of it and finding a different way, and it's going to take all the little details. You said it yesterday beautifully, winning the moment, not letting anything, you know, people are going to score on you. You're going to have a mistake, but can you make it one mistake, not two? Or, hey, there was one breakdown late where Chris Paul, I mean, it was parting of the season. He's like, oh. I'll just keep going. Later. He went all the way to the hoop, and it was like, and he was pointing to his head.
And, well, there was multiple, and don't take this the bad way, I think that what he said is, I'm going to put the people that I want in this, and I'm going to take advantage of it. And that's why he was pointing at his head.
Yep.
There was multiple miscommunications, and guys are looking at each other. The bottom line is, if you're going to, it's like a turnover. And I said this on TV the other day with Buddy. I'd rather him shoot a bad shot than turn the ball over.
Yeah, you want the attempt.
I would rather two guys go to the ball than two guys to go away from the ball. And both times they went away from the ball. Guy gets a layup or gets in the lane and they're looking. Like that. That's the ability to lock in, be physical. Just from the jump, there should be. You're all over your guy.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that it's going to happen. And let me say this. You'll run into a team that passes the ball really well. And with that style, that's what I was saying about Detroit. That's how you take advantage of a team that's ultra aggressive. But since you were passive, they dominated you. Well, if you run into a team that can pass the ball and understands how to play in back cut, if you're too ultra aggressive, they're going to get some layups. But in this particular instance, I would rather leaning on the side of let's get after them and see what happens.
Yeah. All right, more on the Kings, obviously, throughout the show today. But again, we're just getting started. More First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, Doug, there's some reports, not fully confirmed yet, but a couple of sources say that Damian Jones is going to get a second day, a 10-day contract with the Kings. He started yesterday, started two games in a row, but I think played the first 5 or 6 minutes, and that was it. They went to Whiteside, and Whiteside was a little more effective. Metu had some moments too, but this team is small, and then they elect to play small a lot, and I felt at times last night that hurt them. And not just last night, it's hurt them a lot.
Oh, it has, because the time, the instance that you are speaking to was an offensive rebound with three Kings around one player, and the player was able to come out, and that was DeAndre Ayton with the basketball. And I said, if you're smaller, and I learned this from Daryl Walker, who used to play in the NBA with the Knicks, and he was the head coach and assistant coach for the Raptors, and he made me stick Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
And we all know who the hell Dennis Rodman is. He said, I don't care if the ball hits the floor and bounces 8 times. He doesn't get it. And I said, so box him out? He said, no. Face guard him. There's a difference. It, immediately, first of all, if I'm face guarding you, Jason, and a shot goes up, when the shot goes up, what are you going to do? What's your face going to do?
Probably follow the ball. My eyes will follow the ball.
Yes. So that's going to tell
me. There's a clue.
A clue.
Yeah.
What's going on behind me. But I don't really care. I am face guarding you, two hands.
Yeah.
I might even get a foul.
Right.
Okay. The point is.
He didn't get the rebound.
Exactly. And you got three guards trying to block him out.
Yeah. He had the one. He
tipped. Himself.
Okay. I got it. Now, I mean, he needed to clear a space, but he finally got it and controlled it. And like, man.
So
and they're not getting the benefit on the other end of, okay. The reason to play small is maybe you get some offensive benefit. It's not equaling out.
Well, and so I'm glad you said that. Because offensively, if you're going to go small, you got to take advantage of being small. How do you do that? You move them around. Because you're quick and agile, you can change directions and stop and backpick and put them in situations that big guys, they'll try to cover it, but you're going to be able to take advantage of them. Well, the Kings are coming down and giving you one pick and roll, one handoff, one something, and then attacking. And those big guys are standing in the lane. They're packing, especially for De'Aaron. It's tough. That's why I said the other night when Russell Westbrook caught the ball on the wing, we ISO guys like that, but they stand still. That allows everyone to dip in, get into the driving lanes, peacock, make it look like it's not there. But as soon as they did that, one guy runs through to set a pick for another guy. One guy's up setting a back pick. So now the defense must be engaged so they can't pay attention to him the same way, and then he takes advantage of it.
Yeah. And I don't know how much on this story, though, that they'll use Damian Jones going forward, but he
I'm okay with Damian Jones. I like what I've seen. I think that there are things that he can improve on and get better. Like, he doesn't know all the plays, I'm sure. And if he does know the plays, he's just learning them. So he's trying to run the play. Do you hear me now?
Yeah, trying to.
Okay, that's the problem. I need you to play inside of running the play. And that's difficult for a kid coming in. But I like his size, his agility, his athleticism. And there's some nasty to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, not nasty in a bad way, but he's just kind of physical and trying to stay out on the floor as much as he can. 5 minutes, unfortunate for him, but I'm okay with him on a 10-day.
All right, more First Things First.
First Things First. First Things First.
First. Well, there was day basketball. It just happened. Utah Jazz stay hot at home. Remember, they had their home court win streak end the other day by the Wizards, but they win 42-14 overall, 20-3 at home, 119-111 over the Pacers. Not the story, though. The story was, Doug, late third, I think early fourth, what looked to be a pretty nasty injury to Donovan Mitchell. X-rays now have said they're negative, at least the X-rays. He'll have an MRI. He definitely rolled his ankle. We've seen it, and I've seen worse, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be out for a good amount of time here.
So it's somebody who's rolled ankles many times. Like, when you roll your ankle and you can kind of catch yourself, that's one thing. But when you roll your ankle and it goes and you don't have control and, like, the floor stops it or your muscles engage but it's kind of late, his leg kind of slipped, his left one did, and his right ankle went. I would say he's going to be out for a little bit. The MRI will show anything wrong with soft tissue, all that stuff. The X-rays just showing did he break anything. Glad to see that. I'm a fan. This kid isn't developed at a really high rate. Doesn't get probably as much respect as he should, but has that team playing at a really, really high level. Now, we'll see, do they fall back to the pack a little bit or systematic approach?
Right.
Do they plug and play? It'll be a little different. Understand that. But they understand it's not like, okay, I need to ISO now and go for 25. No. Keep playing the same way that you play. We just don't have that dude that can close it out that way. And we'll see what that type of basketball does for Utah.
Yeah, and I think a team like, you know, the Lakers, who are currently in fifth, can probably win from just about any seeding. I would say for the Jazz, certainly for the Suns, the most home court they can have gives them the best. It doesn't mean it's any kind of lock, but, you know.
So that's top two.
Yeah, you're talking about a game seven now going to L.A. or something. No, you don't want to do that. Like,
right.
Or Portland, wherever you may have to go, the more home court those teams can have, the best chances I think they have.
And we were talking before, I was talking about CP3, who 40 assists, one turnover in his last four.
Come on.
Nuts. Just get out of here. He doesn't get as much love as he should, but if they are able to garner the one seed or the two seed, and they go into the playoffs and falter, everyone's going to now – you're going to kill him for not being able to do it. But there are a lot of guys on that team who haven't even really been in those situations before.
Yeah.
I mean, Crowder has last year in the bubble, different things. But, oh, boy, I can't wait. Playoffs are coming.
Yes.
Quickly.
So Utah gets the win today. Donovan Mitchell rolls the ankle pretty significantly. LeBron's been out about 14, 15 games. I don't know. It's hard to compare each one per se, but
at about a month,
he's going to miss some time. And the playoffs the season ends a month from today.
I would anticipate him being out maybe the last week of the season. He comes back trying to get a little rhythm and a little reps, unless it's like, you know, some people like that just – they're like, I'm going to be okay. I think they're going to lean on the side of caution with him and make sure, because that is he's the franchise from the standpoint, especially of closing the deal. Because when Mo Harkless had him in the first half under control, Kings were totally in that ball game. And all of a sudden, the second half, he and Joe Ingles start heating up, and that's how they got away from him.
Yeah. All right. More First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
Well, the NBA draft is still a little bit away, but more players are declaring to go into the draft. This isn't a surprise. We expect him to be a very high lottery pick. Evan Mobley said he's leaving USC. He will enter the NBA draft. And what makes him different than I think the other names that are near the top with him, kind of that five that seem to be the cream of the crop, he's the biggest. He's the tallest. He's the longest. So traditionally, Doug, I would say more people kind of gravitate towards that, because that size, I just can't get a 6'10 guy. I can't get a 6'8 guard or whatever the case might be. For him, he opts to go pro, and again, he's going to be picked very, very high.
I think so. I think that there's other players that are more skillful. They are not as big as he is. Where is he going to play? Now, this is the same thing that people said about KD, but KD was way more skilled than he is. I mean, he was playing on the perimeter. I see him shoot jump shots and different things like that.
He's 7 feet, right? Or 6'11"?
He's 6'11", but he is more Porzingis in build and, you know, maybe getting pushed and shoved around. Now, how will that body fill out? I'm not really sure, because we watch Giannis Antetokounmpo really fill out. And Giannis was skinnier than he is.
Yeah.
So, but Evan Mobley, nice skill set. The fact that he can shoot it from outside, triple threat, he has it all.
I'm looking at just one mock draft right now. Has him two. To Minnesota currently. Cade Cunningham into Evan Mobley, then Jalen Suggs. with Green and Kuminga. That's kind of the five that get spotlighted the most. But so two, one, two, three, four, he's going to be somewhere in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, but yeah. that's me.
You're going Suggs, Cunningham, or Cunningham, Suggs, kind yep. of one of those two, that uh-huh. order.
And depending on how Green looks when he comes in.
Yeah, he's nice.
Yeah, no, he is. So, and that's really where the game is. Unless your big guy is going to be like ultra skilled, ultra movement, everything. And I haven't seen Evan Mobley enough. I need to see in person,
yeah.
too. Like, how's the build? When they're like even Giannis, like he's out with knee soreness, but then I watch his brothers. Have you ever watched his brothers warm up?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, I want to hit them Ralph Sampson knees on me, where you pick up speed in the key and you stopping at half court to try to slow down at the other key. But Giannis hasn't been for him. He's
right.
been very, very good. So we'll see.
Yeah.
The draft should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, I guess I was thinking of it, if you went to take a big like him, if you had a setup where you've got, I'm thinking of Phoenix, but who, you know, when you're picking where the lottery is, you need a lot of help. So I don't know if you get that veteran presence at a point guard, you get some other guards and you need a big. At this point, everybody in the lottery there needs more talent.
Yeah, you do. But even like Minnesota, you already got Cat.
Yeah.
So what are you going to get off of him, and he's going to be your interior presence? He's not that, and he's not going to be that for a while, in my opinion.
But if you like Mobley, though, don't you want the more talent anyway, or are you going now?
I don't
need?
Think Mobley's more talented.
I don't
Jalen
either.
Sucks.
But if they well, okay.
yeah, but that's fine for them because
yeah.
we get to play him. So
right.
you go ahead, go that route right
yeah.
there. I don't want to see Jalen Suggs four times a season. That's not what I'm really trying to feel, because that kid is I think he's got the goods, but. You're kind of matching up two bigs, and everything is cyclical. So it'll come back around in the bigs as they continue to develop in skill sets and different things. And there are some big teams out there. I mean, think of Milwaukee. Who else have we faced lately? I was just like, damn, they are big.
Yeah, it's big across the board. There's been a couple teams like that where you just kind of.
It wasn't necessarily.
Philly's really big.
Yes, they're really big. But it's also, see, this is, it's an interesting thing, because you can be like a little bit smaller on the inside, like 6'10", 6'10", but then you could be 6'7", 6'7", 6'4". That's big as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we saw with Detroit. They weren't super big, but they were very physical. And the kid out of Washington on the interior, man, he was just. Dominating. So
Stewart.
Yeah. Isaiah Stewart. He's aggressive. Mm-hmm. He's only probably 6'9", but
he gets after it.
He totally does. But yeah. you could also go Joel. Oh, you know who it is? Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jokic,
right.
You got Porter. Now you got the kid from Orlando that they just got.
Yeah,
he's
Gordon,
6'9".
Jermichael
so
Green.
So you got like 6'10", 6'10", 6'9". And your point guard was 6'4".
Yeah.
Your shooting guard might be the shortest guy.
Right.
That's what I mean by yeah. size. It doesn't necessarily need to, just as long as you got length, you're going to be all right.
All right, let's get one more thing from First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
And now the delivery is on the way to Robbie, and that's swung on. And a high fly ball, short center. Mariano coming on. He's right there. He makes the catch. The ball game is over, and that's five straight wins for the Oakland A's.
It can turn quickly, and it has for the Oakland A's when it looked like they couldn't get a win. They win again yesterday, Doug. If they somehow win today, which that game can be heard tonight right here on KHDK, they'll have climbed all the way back to 500 and done it this quickly. Sometimes it might take you a month to do it, just kind of, you know, going 2-1, 2-1, winning series. Well, here they are 5 in a row, and they're a win away from getting back to 500.
Yeah, you get starting pitching again.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Manaea, 6 innings. I mean,
that's a big deal.
I think it is, because also usually that's meaning that he's not getting knocked around, so you're able to stay in. But that type of pitching with putting runs up on the board is the type of production I'm sure that they are looking for. 5 in a row.
How about that?
Yeah.
Not time yet.
It's not time.
Not time yet.
You saw it in my face.
I saw it in your face.
Okay.
Not time yet. There is time for that.
All right.
It's coming up later this hour.
Is it?
Because actually, it's quite a weekend for baseball. Really,
yes.
When there's so many, but we touched on yesterday. But Yankees and Rays are going again. First time Dodgers and Padres.
Yankees and Rays are going. Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm tuned. See,
they don't like each other.
They do not.
Yeah, and they're talking about it.
I'm tuned in.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting hit.
Yes. Yes, I think so. Maybe multiples. So it's a big weekend for baseball. We'll talk about that. We got a lot of NFL notes to get to. Still five on it. Tell me something good. When we come back, though, man, why is it this team, this version of the Sacramento Kings, has a losing streak at 9 and one more loss? They would tie the Sacramento Kings franchise record for 10 losses. Man, why is it this group? We'll discuss that and what this team could do to break that up. We'll do that next here on KHDK. To it than that.
He was happy, happy, happy.
Yeah. Huh?
Boy. Okay.
Grill, fire pit, outdoor heaters. Cinch is the 100% answer for your propane needs. Cinch.com.
It's a cinch.
You know what was a cinch yesterday?
What's that?
Chris on the over under. He swept us big time.
Oh, my God.
Set the over under at 69% for DeAndre Ayton. We all went under. And I'm like, oh, man, 2 for 2. Okay, well.
Anything with defense going forward?
4 for 4.
Okay.
5 for 5.
Damn.
6 for 6.
Lord.
I think he finally missed one of his easier shots, a lob dunk attempt that he missed. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I think he was 9 of 10 or 10 of 11. No, 10 of 11.
10 of 11. Say it. Do you put some respect on that man's name?
Wow. I mean, he blew it away. Way on the over. We all took the under. That was a problem, too, not stopping him. But he also, what did he do? I'm not, to his credit, everything was around the rim, dunks, lobs. I don't know that he took more
you know
than
what he did?
8-foot
he
shot.
Was Rashawn Holmes last
yes.
night. That's pretty.
And it was smart.
It is.
Because he can shoot threes and does step out. He didn't ever try that. He didn't have to.
This is the thing. Like right off the bat, Mark Jones yesterday goes, yeah, usually on the first play. This is what our commentator said. Usually on the first play, they love to go for a lob for Ayton. They go for the lob, doesn't happen, and they bounce pass it to him. He dunks it. It's starting the third quarter. He goes, yeah, boom, happens again. This time they catch the lob and
right,
he dunks
right,
it.
Right, first play.
And I'm thinking to myself.
Mark knows it.
Yeah, damn right. If he understands that, guys. So, okay, let's just say the play worked. Because smart, and this is what I would do if I was coaching with Rashawn Holmes, always with the big guys, unless they're highly mobile and they're going to touch the ball a lot like Jokic. What does that do for him? It engages him. It gets him involved, and he's feeling good about himself. Now he's going to run the floor, and whenever he does run the floor, CP3, without Monty Williams has to say it, he makes sure and gets him to basketball. Because, big fella, you run, I get it to you. Don't worry. You keep doing that dirty work for us. Well, the play worked because somebody set what, Jason? Set a good back screen.
Yep.
So, and Monty comes from Pat Riley and Popovich. Screen angles and all of those fundamentals are an absolute thing. If you set a better back screen, first of all, he gets the lob. After that, when we do it again, guess what happens?
What's that?
Money comes to me.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Jason. I'm not going to have eyebrows soon.
Just keep.
My little taco meat chest hair.
Yeah. Gone?
Gone.
He's gone.
He go.
Well, you're not going to be the only one because at this point, Doug, the losing streak's at 9. And
Nueve.
Yeah. Second one this year. They've only had 1-10 to the best of my knowledge, and I think it was the 89-90 season. There's been some really bad Sacramento Kings teams in Sacramento. You were fortunately on the best ones, on the best teams here.
You expect less from me, Jason?
Well, don't make me answer that.
Okay.
No.
I like that. I like that.
But I'm having a hard time understanding why it's this group. And to have 2 9-game losing streaks, could be 10, could be 11. I mean, who knows where it could go. It may stop at 9. The point is 9's too many, 5's too many. They're at nine. It's the second time. I don't feel like
they're not that bad.
That's it. And so people go, of course they are, because they lost this.
They're not.
I've seen this team constructed before, and there are far worse teams.
Okay.
That's why I'm having a hard time understanding. Now, I see it. It's happening. Why?
So.
Why this bad?
Here we go again, and this is for all the people who weren't listening the first time that I said this, and I'm sure that there are a few of them, okay? So, now I'm going to go top four. First, it was three. So, we're going top four. Players in Kings franchise history. Give me, and why I'm saying four is because we're going to put De'Aaron in that. Okay. So, give me three.
I can give you the three that I think almost everybody would say, and I'll do it in order. That would be in when they played Mitch Richmond.
Okay.
Chris Webber.
Okay.
And DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay.
There might be some other, but that's probably a universal top three.
Okay. So.
And you're putting De'Aaron in as a fourth?
Yeah, but I'm using that later, and I think it'll make sense after I say what I'm going to say to you. So if we go Mitch, fantastic player, all-star, all-star MVP, straight game. I'm talking game. He lost like this.
Yeah, never a 40-win season.
Okay. DeMarcus Cousins. Game. Listen, there were a lot of people saying a lot of things about DeMarcus. I was not on that train because that man got game. He was the closest thing that I've ever seen to a combination of Lottie DeVos and Chris Webber, and that is a scary freaking thing, okay? He lost like this. Chris Webber, Hall of Famer. I'm just throwing that out there. Chris, I've told you many times, similar to what we've seen from Chris Paul last night when you look at his numbers, 15.8 points and 8 assists, whatever. Chris could go for 25 if he wanted to every single night, but he knows that that's not what's going to help that team. Our very own C. Webb could have averaged 30 if he wanted to and 14. The same way that Mitch did. The same way that Cuz did. The difference in Mitch, and Mitch was on TV when I said this last night, and he was shaking. He was like, damn, you're right, bro. The difference between Mitch and Cuz and Webb had a system. Webb was plug and play. Webb sacrificed a little bit for the team, but it turned into something beautiful beyond. We look at De'Aaron right now, and I talk about teaching him how to play in a systematic approach. So, Buddy doesn't know how to use his thing, whether he's being taught. And we've had Luke on here, and you can hear it in his voice that these are things that they go through. But the approach of how are we going to bring the best, and what is this team, and how do we get the best out of it? That is the difference. And if you look at Monty, if you look at any of the Utah, if you look at these teams, systematic approach. So when we talk about this, Jason, like you can have talent, and you named, and I would agree with you, maybe some people argue that they throw somebody else in there. But in my opinion, those are the three greatest players in Kings history, and De'Aaron, the way that he's going, he's moving right up the ladder. But until you put around him an approach and a program and all the things that can take a advantage of his thing. So, for instance, what's De'Aaron averaging right now? Like 25 points a game?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather him average 20 points a game instead of having 7 rebounds, have almost 10, but them winning 55 games a year. But to do that, it's going to be how does he get it and how to, well, there'll be nights when he goes for 40. But most nights he's going to be right around 20, and it's going to be him using his skills to get everyone else involved, a la C. Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Because C. Webb caught it at the elbow, and he could have turned around and shot the damn thing every time. But he said, you guys keep cutting. I'll hit you. Don't worry. And by him sacrificing in a couple more assists and a few less points, every once in a while, he went for 51. He went for 40. Good nights when he needed to carry, he had 30. But the system allowed us to do that. You feel me?
I do. I do. And I'm thinking, I know you and I have talked even off air about maybe other systems or other teams that we feel have systems, but it's not everybody. Not everybody in the league. And so I guess my question, too, would be that's if that's not fully in place here, and I don't know that it's fully in place everywhere, some teams seem to win a little bit more even than the Kings do.
Give me
without a system.
Okay, give me some.
Let's see. Who? I mean, I think the teams, I should start with who we thought identified as a system. We said Utah.
Yeah.
Clearly has had one.
Yeah.
I believe Miami does.
Definitely does.
Who else have we said?
Milwaukee? They have a system. The reason I say that is because he used the same system in Atlanta and won 60 games and got bumped right out of the playoffs the same way he's doing Milwaukee. The key is he has a system and the system wins. Now, does it win in the playoffs? No, it does not. But that's the same thing with Houston and the same thing with D'Antoni.
Now, I guess maybe I should even go back to and break this down completely. What's a system to you? Now, are we talking about off? No, we're not talking about sets and things like that. What do you mean by system?
So what I'm saying is there's a style of play that you know it. And that is the way that your team plays. For us, it was and I can only speak for me because everyone like what's the coach in Thibodeau? Mm-hmm. His system is defensive.
Yes,
but it still works. D'Antoni's system is offensive, and it works. Personally, the combination of both is the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James, where he had to leave Cleveland to go figure out the system in Miami, and then he brought the system back to Cleveland. Now he's just taking the damn thing with him wherever he goes. If you want to be a part of this, this is how we go. So system, what I'm saying is everyone must master the fundamentals to a certain extent. So when you're seeing fundamental things that aren't going right, you got to address all those things. Picture it as a wheel, Jason, and it needs to roll as smooth as possible. Some people's wheel is going to be deficient on one side. I get it, because not everybody can shoot like Peja freaking Stojakovic. Mm-hmm. It's part of the deal. But everybody on that team could shoot, dribble, rebound, pivot, all those different things. So what I'm saying is develop the players in a way that when you plug them into your system, fundamentally, you don't have times like Buddy dribbling down the court that time, and it just looked like, and sometimes it's like, don't dribble. Well, let's work on the dribbling so that we can take advantage of that. Golden State, systematic approach. Looking for layups, shooting a lot of threes. Klay doesn't dribble. Everyone understands how to screen and how to get him open. Those are the things, screening angles, back picks, digesting the game mentally, understanding when you're down by a certain amount, we should see that you understand that you're playing a game and how to manipulate the game as opposed to just kind of falling into the game.
Yeah. So a drop-off with teams like San Antonio, who's had the same coach and GM for years, is a personnel issue. Like, I still think they get the most out of some of those because sometimes I see them and go, who is that guy?
Because it is a talent league, Jason.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that you don't need talent.
Right, right.
But
if they had the talent paired with the system, then they're cooking.
Right. But even with less talent,
they get the most out of those guys.
Because this is how we develop them. This is how we go about it. And the better talent we get, the better we're going to be. That's why, like in an all-star game, everyone's passing and you're hitting shots all over the place because those players have the highest skill level of all the players in the league. So whoever you pass it to is pretty much going to make the damn shot.
Yeah.
Or give you a really – well, on a team, it's not like that. That's why the development of the players and player development, especially when you're bringing them in at such a young age, Jason, it's vitally, vitally important.
Yeah, Ben on our YouTube says, Doug, to your point, this is about Fox and maybe dropping the points per game, but assists. He said, to your point, Doug, Fox passed the ball 2 times in the last 6.5 minutes after he touched the ball. Okay. And he was the one, and that's why I said he scored 11 of the 20. That's fine, but like, it was a team concept, and I'm not even faulting De'Aaron for that.
No, not at all. But this is the key. So, what's his name?
Ben.
So, Ben, on the flip side of it, and this is what I've noticed with the Suns, just watching them. So, by Chris Paul bringing his mentality to the team, Monty bringing what he brought to the team, and Booker and Ayton and everyone buying in, guys get off the basketball knowing that it's going to come back to them because we trust that it's going to find the right energy. And in many ways, when De'Aaron gets off the basketball right now, something not good happens. So it's like, okay, 1-4 high. Hmm. Everybody on the baseline. Let him do his thing. Yeah, that's good, but it's butter knife.
Right.
We need a scalpel, meaning that De'Aaron needs to pass to the wing, cut through, set a back pick. Then guess what, Jason? With 10 seconds on the clock, he's catching the ball and someone's running at him, and now he goes into the same thing that he would have got if he stayed at top and dribbled it for 4 seconds. The same thing would have happened.
Yeah.
And when he does pass and do all of that, maybe somebody gets a wide open shot because you set a really good pick or you made a really hard cut. That's the same thing We had a play. It's called Four Strong. It had five options. I'd be at the elbow, Peja behind me at the block, Vlade on the other block, and Webb on the other elbow, and Mike would come down and pass me the ball. The first option was Mike cutting off. Here you go. Then I'd square up. I could shoot it. Then Webb and Vlade would set a stagger pick for Peja. He's coming off. He's an option. But as he's setting the pick, if anybody falls asleep, I'm firing the pass right down low to Webb or Vlade. The play is for Peja.
But it could have been Mike right away.
Right
off
the bat.
Could have been a turn. Hey, the defender left me. Yep. I'm shooting. Dug for three.
If when he comes off me and I nip the guy on the hip and I catch him, boom, here you go, Mike. Do your thing. Yeah. Like, that's the quarterback in the pocket. And he's going,
Nope.
There he is.
Yep.
And that's basketball, because it's not about Peja scoring.
Right.
It's about us.
The Kings scoring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for De'Aaron, and it's hard because he is so damn talented that it's like, I wanted to. I'm like, and I say this sometimes, I'm like, go. And I'm thinking,
And
I'm kind of, you're killing me right now.
Yeah, and that's what's so hard about this. I mean, this season's been as much of a puzzle for me as any that we've seen with this team, because I would say in some of those other years where, you know, they won 17 games or had 8-9 game losing streaks, you just go,
you knew.
They need different players. Like,
right.
I think you can go about and say, well, Halliburton's a big part of what they're going to do. Fox, sure. We'd like to see them re-sign Holmes. Like, there's pieces here.
Right.
It's not an empty cupboard, but you go, why? Why is it not gelling?
Well, I
consistently,
think
at least.
Sense of urgency and understanding time and score in a different way than just time and score. What I mean by that is when the game starts, there is no score. The time starts, but there's no score. But the game started. So what's the mental approach in right away? Why are you falling into the game?
Yeah.
We can't fall into the game. We're not that good. As is evident right here. You played a good, decent game last night against the second best team in the Western Conference and third best team in the NBA, if you want to say that. And you were right there, but it's
but
just
you
not
be good all
exactly.
Game. All right, more on the Kings coming up. When we come back, though, we're going to tell you about, we started to touch on this. It's really an interesting weekend in baseball. There's some great rivalries going on this weekend, including the Dodgers and Padres meeting for the first time. And who's in first in the American League West?
What are you talking about? Go ahead and talk about it. Mm-hmm. Might not last long, but we're going to go ahead and ride on it.
That's what's next.
Oh, baby, let me low you down. And if it takes all night, let me low you down.
It's that kind of day. It is Friday. We'll have Tell Me Something Good to close out the show.
I know you didn't see it, Doug, but that was very close.
Oh, that was pretty close.
That was it?
That was very close. No snapping.
No, but listen.
It was very much from the waist down.
Okay, so I can imagine
the donut
then,
dance.
Sugar in my hand.
Yeah.
And that?
Yeah.
That's a special.
I remember he gave it up for Lent.
Yeah.
And we had
a little extra.
And we didn't have a Friday show last Friday. Yeah. So this is the first one in a long time.
When they borrowed it, did they give it back? It took him a second.
No, I'm well, yes, but I'm also laughing at Chris through the glass that we can hear him laughing.
Whenever I hear him laughing through the glass,
you
and Jay over there just trying to kill us in the last hour, but he even turned around like, well
one.
Played.
Good one. Coming up in the next hour, more on the NBA, certainly on the NFL as well, has Fields moved into the 3 spot for the Niners. We'll talk more about that. Also projected win totals for all 32 NFL teams. And something you're going to want to hear, Doug, Bill Belichick.
Billy
will size up the quarterback class. Oh, yeah.
Does he?
You'll hear it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'll hear it.
Yeah, maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
All right.
So.
Do the show.
Let me see what I got over here for you, Mr. Christie.
Oh, Lord.
Let's do this.
I mean, we haven't discussed it, obviously.
Oh, no, we haven't discussed it, but you will like this.
NJ's coming in. Oh, Lord.
Oh, he doesn't know about this.
Okay.
But, well, maybe he does.
Thank
but
you.
Here you go. This is your time.
The stretch and the 1-2 pitch, swinging a chopper to the right side, taken by Middleton. Underhand flip to first to White, and it's in time, and the ball game is over. The Mariners win the second game of the doubleheader 2-1.
Yes! First place! Seattle Mariners. Time for the Mariners Minute. Since they're in first, Doug, you can have all the minute you want. You can just enjoy this.
I told you yesterday, we don't need 60 seconds. It's more when I'm losing that I need my whole minute. But my man at Starbucks.
Yeah.
He had his mask on today. He was delivering curbside when he came in.
Mariners mask?
Absolutely. He had the Mariners. I said, he goes, hey, man. We're in first. I said, "Dada boy." I said, "Don't worry. I'm gonna go in. Because it doesn't always get like this. It hasn't always been like this. Matter of fact, most times it's not like this, Jason. But how does it look?
It looks good. 8-5, top of the standings. It's a good division. Jay, you have to wait till May 24th for the first A's.
I know that was
series.
Weird. I looked down. He was going, when did they play the A's? And my phone only went so far. I was like, that's a May
away.
5th. I'm like,
no. No, May 24th.
Yeah. So no, my phone went to May 5th. Oh. So I was like, Cinco de Mayo. We not getting it on. So okay, that was more than a minute. I appreciate it though. Thank you. Because I'm sure. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening in on YouTube, these minutes won't always be like this. There will be a point where things begin to change. But as of right now, my boy's doing their thing.
Can you give me the standings of the AOS right now,
absolutely,
please, Jason?
Yes.
Or Doug, you probably have them right in front of you.
You know what? Because
I'd like you to say who's in first
away.
Again. And just
so the Rangers, we started at the bottom. And then we're here. So the Rangers 5-7 in last. You got 5-7 for the Athletics, 5 in a row. And
6-7. We need an update.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, hold on. That's only okay. Well, didn't you read it for me? That's even better, actually, because my minute was up.
Okay. And Texas is in last, tied with the A's, both at 6-7. Both, though, have won 3 in a row for the Rangers, 5 in a row for the A's.
Mm-hmm.
Astros, the weekend set you guys have, 6-6. So you could just bury them more if you'd like. Then the Angels, who have lost the last couple. By the way, Houston has lost 5 in a row. Angels have lost 2 in a row. They're 7-5. And then first place, winners of their last two, the Seattle Mariners at 8-5. So from first to last, it's 2 games.
And I appreciate you, Jay, for spanking them boys.
We owe the Astros.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, send
them our way. I hope they still reeling. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
You don't know about that part?
Yeah, I don't know how far they're going to reel.
Yeah.
But I do know that we'll let them count as blessings for right now.
That's what you're supposed to do, man.
Absolutely.
You know,
enjoy
Let me smell my flowers.
It normally starts off this way, doesn't it? For the Mariners, like the last couple of the A's played the Mariners in Japan. Where'd they play?
Yeah,
last
it
year?
Was it was over overseas
somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
First couple games,
and I believe the Mariners won the first two.
Yeah. Out quick, Jackrabbit. Fast horses don't run long, son.
Quarter horses,
yeah,
is what they call them. And so this is nothing new. We're built to last.
But, you know, times are changing.
Well, they said 2022 or 2023 for the Mariners. Maybe you're fast-tracking it.
No, phone.
Don't worry about that.
No, it ain't that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I think it was 21-23.
See, that
I
just...
That.
I could see that.
Yeah. The other thing, too, as we said earlier, to watch this week, the Giants, by the way, they're in Miami. They've been playing well. They're 8-4. The Rays and Yankees meet, and they've already met this year, and they're meeting again. They don't like each other. They've thrown at each other already this year. Now it's in New York, and the Rays had the last laugh last year because they beat the Yankees, knocked them out. And then now, first time, Padres and Dodgers, first of probably 18. But
man, did you see Tatis
is
trying to come back?
Yeah, already?
Yeah, he is coming back.
Yeah.
They've activated him.
I was like, man.
From
you think that follow through going to shorten up a little bit, Jay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adjust.
Until he realizes it's 100%.
Then I'm good. Then he's swinging out the shoes again.
Not? Yeah. Of course.
But you get the Padres 9-5 and the Dodgers, who are the champs. We know they're good. And they're, what, 11-2, the only double-digit win team already in the season. So.
Who have they played?
The A's.
No.
Besides the A's.
Right. I know
they had
them.
They had the Rockies. I know that.
Okay.
Let's see who they've had. The Nationals.
Okay.
Yeah, started with the Rockies for 4, A's for 3, Nationals for 3, and then the Rockies for 3.
Gotcha.
And they had
losses
if
to
I'm
opening
not
day
mistaken,
and the A's.
They had Price out there.
Did you? Yeah, he closed it.
Yeah, he closed it because we were talking.
Remember, he was in the kind
yeah.
of
like no man's land.
Nondescript role.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, maybe he found a niche.
Yeah. But the high level of players on both teams in this series, and the fact the Padres want that. They want what the Dodgers have.
Right.
And so it's weird when you're in that role. Like the Dodgers know everybody's chasing him, but they know that team specifically is out to get him.
And got some fans in the state.
Yes.
Yeah. Are they in LA or San Diego?
It's in San Diego.
Oh.
Yeah, so it'll be feistier. Feistier in San Diego.
Yeah, I liked it. Little demon cat.
Baseball needs more of these kind of things. Agreed. And then other things like, Jay, wasn't Acuña Jr. your MVP pick?
Yeah, no, he's going crazy.
That would be me.
You too?
Yeah,
both of you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
He has both.
That was me as well.
Yeah. Oh, all three of you?
I don't know.
Man.
I think I looked at it. He started like of like 10 and since has like 24 hits.
Yo.
Yeah, he's crazy. He's losing it.
Seven homers, leading in extra base hits.
I'm gonna say this.
Batting four something.
I'm going out on a limb. Not okay. Not the furthest limb, but the limb. I think he gets close to 50-50 this year.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah.
That would be great.
Yes.
That would be great for him and great for baseball.
I think he has an opportunity.
Yeah.
To get 50.
He's just fun. He plays with energy and passion. The other day when he tagged from, it was shortstop, but I mean, the shortstop went back into the short half. No business tagging, and he did and made it easily.
That's it.
I enjoy players like that all when they play with a joy.
In
a childish joy to the game as opposed to just so. Because baseball needs. Yeah, baseball needs that. We talk about Trout, and they got hats on. You can't see their faces. You wouldn't even know them if they was. Mm-hmm. They need more of Tatis on a commercial talking. Great. And if that happens.
There's some young talent, too,
yes,
man,
there
in
is.
Baseball. Like, you saw Bichette with the game-winning shot against you guys, I believe, right? The Yankees.
Carlos.
Bo Bichette, that was. There's some young talent.
Absolutely.
I mean, and they're, like you say, yeah. Doug, they kind of play the game and, you know, fun.
I'm with that. I like seeing it. Like, it makes me want to watch them do it. Basketball with all the threes and stuff, that kind of doesn't always do it for me. It drives me a little bit nutty sometimes. Yeah.
But we know all that talent's out there. Like, you hear about it all. But now to get these names out there more so, and even a guy like who's been around a little bit, but Ohtani, to be doing what he's doing on the mound, also with the bat. That's good stuff, and so we'll see what baseball has in store for this weekend. Again, a reminder that we will have A's baseball coming your way after us at 6. It's the A's and the Tigers. Capital Casino is now open again with our outdoor gaming venue, 411 North 16th Street in Sacramento. All right, next hour, NFL talk. Why is Fields moving up to maybe the number 3? Is there a true change there for the 49ers? We got the projected win totals for all 32 NFL teams, and when we come back, we'll jump back into the NBA as well. We'll do that when we come back here on KHDK.